Hello everyone, and welcome to this Windows Phone 7 video. My name is Yohai Kuryadi, I'm a Senior Technical Evangelist, and with me, Jorge Rostrum, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Please tell us a little bit yourself.
So, my name is Jorge Rostrum, and I'm a Program Manager in the Application Platform team. And I'm responsible for the Push Notifications feature, which is part of the Windows Phone 7 application platform for developers out there.
Right. So, as you probably guessed, today we're going to talk about Windows Phone 7, and specifically we're going to talk about push notification. So, right at the top, for those who have no idea what push notifications are, what exactly are push notifications?
So, push notifications is a way for developers to be able to enable their applications to connect to the backend in a better efficient way and in a consistent way in the platform. So, developers can now create applications which does some calculation in the backend and sends their backend information to the application on the phone without necessarily having to be running at all time.
Right.
So if you have a service, Twitter-like or any other social communicator-like application, you would send your notification down to the phone. The user gets a notification whether the application is running and not running and takes an action based on that notification.
So basically, from the developer aspect, we're coming to tell that you can't run anything in the background, right? In this release, we won't allow any background processing. There's basically no way for your code to run. So while your application is not running and you still want to get notified or have your application connected, we allow a way for the backend to push stuff to the device.
Yeah, that is correct. So that follows the application model that we have currently for Windows Phone 7, where, as you said before, applications do not run, but we have this, you can call it service, in the background of the browser, which can handle notifications. So the notifications are very restricted to which properties you are using in the phone. So, for example, we have two concepts. We have the in-application notifications, which are to enable application developers to simplify the way they develop applications by using the push notifications pipe to send notifications down to their application. This simplifies in the way that they don't have to create any state machines in the backend to keep persistent connections, and it's very simple to integrate with our push notifications framework.
Right.
And we can get in later into the technical details. And then we have the out-of-application notifications, which are built into the platform components, which can show you certain UX behavior.
On the phone. So, Jorge, we covered the developer aspect, or what is push notification for developers. Yes. If I'm just a user, what is the experience of push notification for me on the phone?
Okay, so I want to start by telling you how the phone's graphical interface works and how it looks like, and then we can tie that into the push notifications.
Sure.
Scenario. So let me bring up a slide here. So what you have here is an example of a tile here. You have the three different tiles that are going to be the most common on the phone in a moment tonight. We have the large tiles, which are dedicated for the platform only. They are a little bit more complex and show you information. And we have the smaller tiles, which will be the application tiles for the application developer to work with. These tiles are dynamic and static, so some of them are showing information and some of them are just static information, which is just one image. And the tiles, as I explained, comes in two sizes, and they are driven by the user. So the user decides whether they should be pinned into the start menu or not. So all of this is the user decides how his tiles menu looks like.
Right.
And he decides in which order they are. And in the push notification scenario, you would bind the tile contents to your push notifications channel. So if you have an application, the application can show certain contents in the tiles. And by contents, I mean a background image and counters and title. So in the next slide here, you see how a tile is built up here for a developer. So this is the full tile that you have with all the information. You build up the tile with a title and a counter and the background image. And in the end, it's composed like that, which shows a tile.
So basically, as a developer, we'll start as a user.
Yeah.
If I like this application, I can in some way pin it to the start menu,
exactly,
which is the first menu that the user sees, right?
Exactly.
And then, as a developer, I have the ability, if this pin is basically, if this, sorry, if this tile is pinned to the start menu, mm-hmm. as a developer, I have ability to drive notification in the form of tile changes or tile information, which can comprise of a background image, a title, and a count.
Yeah.
And I can change all three of them in any given time.
Yeah, so they are atomic updates, so you need to update all of them, and you do that through the backend. So it's actually your backend service that does those updates to the... Because the application doesn't really know about these updates. The only thing that the application says is, I'm opting into binding into a tile, and that's it. So when the application has done that, its channel now becomes active whether the application is running or not running.
Right. So even if the application is not running in the background, tile notification still will happen.
Exactly.
And then the user can actually tap on the tile, and what will happen?
You will launch into the application.
And then the application will go do whatever it needs
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. And this would be the normal scenario when you launch an application.
Right.
And I want to segue into the toast notification. So we have the toast notifications for... So I want to explain a little bit what a toast notification is. So a toast notification is a notification that pops up wherever you are in the, your experience, except for the application that actually
runs
the app. Runs the app, because it wouldn't make sense to push down a toast if the application... So the toasts are a little bit to get the user's attention to the phone and maybe or maybe not make an action. So in this sample, for example, someone gets a toast notification. You can click on the toast notification, and it will take you to that application. So the current active application will then go away, and the application which is associated with the push notification will be brought up. These contents in the tile or in the toast, it's sent from the backend as well. So the backend decides what information is there.
Right.
It's down to the application.
So the, if I, let's say, have some sort of online auction application, and I bid into something, and someone just bid me out, and so the server can send a toast, a push notification in the form of a toast notification. Would basically just show something like that.
Yeah, I think that comes into a little bit about the guidelines of like user versus developer scenario. So in a user scenario, everyone understands that you don't want to have notifications being thrown up in your face
all
at all time.
Right.
And the guidelines for toast notifications are they should be relevant and they should contain actionable information to the user. If it's not actionable information, they should be either be routed to a tile notification or they shouldn't be sent at all to the phone, or they should be fetched down by the application, depending on the level of information that you want to send down to your application.
Right.
So that's a general guideline. And if you pop up too many notifications, the users in the end won't like this application, which means that they're going to remove this application from the list, or they're going to disable the notifications feature. So it's really...
a balance.
Yeah, it's really a balance, and it's really a powerful tool, but it also requires certain responsibility from the application developer.
Great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly, the old classic.
So developers need to be aware that eventually user will have the ability to remove the app or block notification.
Exactly.
So now that we understand what push notifications are for the user and for the developers, let's let's dive behind the scenes and actually see how push notification works.
Yeah. So there are
two parts.
Yeah, two big parts, and the developer part, which are because we have the client pieces and the client code, and then we have the service pieces and the Microsoft hosted free push notification service. So let me bring up a slide here to show you an overall view. So I'm going to walk this through in different steps and show you what happens when you create a channel, what happens when a notification is sent, and who is the actor and in the schema.
Let's go.
So we have the application, as I said. You see you have the phone. This is the view that I explained before with the tiles and the first expected view of the phone when the application or when the phone is being run. So let's assume that we simulate that I click on one of these tiles and I launch my application. So first time I would launch my application and it was set up to use push notifications. The application would create a channel. When this channel gets created, whether this is the first application that runs or whether this is the second or third application that runs, which uses push notifications, there is different behavior in the client. But first and foremost, we create a persistent connection to a Microsoft-hosted service which is the MPN service, Microsoft Push Notification Services. And this persistent connection is a one-off connection. And this is the connection that we then use to create virtual connections within, which we call HTTP channels. So these are the channels that live in the persistent connection. Once this connection is established, the application requests for a channel URI. This is done behind the scenes, so the only thing that the application will see, it will get a delegate call back to the application saying, this is your notifications URI.
Right.
Okay, so now the...
Which is number two.
Exactly. So now the application is addressable, it has its address endpoint, and knows where it can send to it back in. You have a sample here of notifications URI, this is how they look now, we are probably going to change that later, but assume that this is. As you can see, this is an HTTP URI, which means that we're using some kind of RESTful services in the back end.
Right.
And so I'm going to come to that later when I send. So the first thing is that the application sends its URI to its back end. It's up to the application to decide how it sends up its notifications URI. We have certain guidelines is that the URI, it's your private URI, so you shouldn't be spreading it around or sprinkling it around on the web. Since we're following a RESTful protocol, anyone can do a
push.
HTTP post, which ends up it then pushed to your application.
Yes.
The second thing is that we assume that applications which work with web service already have some protocol, whether it is a simple web service protocol or whether it is an inbound custom protocol that the application uses. In the end, they would have that because they need the whole point of push notifications is to get a push and synchronize your data with the backend.
Either or you have a connected app, so we already have something.
Exactly. So it uses service.
With your login or whatever, here's another metadata information.
Exactly. You can also use this URI to identify your application, for example, because one application creates one channel. This is unique for your application, which means that you could see this one as application ID.
On a specific device,
on a specific endpoint.
Cool.
So your application service receives this URI, and now it can start pushing notifications down to the Microsoft hosted server. It does it through HTTP POST as a normal RESTful protocol, and
right.
We have certain information which we return back to the third-party server.
So this part of the protocol.
Yeah, exactly. So since we, for example, have a persistent connection between the Microsoft service and the client, we know the state of the phone, whether it's connected or not. And we actually send this as a return information to the service. So when you send a push notification, it might tell you the device is temporarily disconnected, or the device is currently connected and everything went fine, and the notification will be delivered at a certain time to the device. And we don't have any delivery guarantees, for example. So we'll do best effort delivery. We have different batching intervals on the servers where we say that we will try to deliver this notification in this specific time interval. And divide in three different time intervals. We have real time, we have normal, and we have delayed.
Yes.
So in those ones, it's up to the service to pick whichever it wants to use, depending on which kind of profile of notifications you have. So for example, really urgent notifications you would send as the real time. So do not miss the concept of real-time. This is not real-time. The thing is, we will try to deliver it as soon as possible to the phone.
Right.
But those might be lost because they might time out on our backend. So we don't keep them forever there.
Right. So there are a couple of things to remember, and this is like really overview. So
yeah.
Before diving into the different parts,
yeah.
as a high-level guidance.
Yeah.
So basically, the SLA means that this is a best effort service, right?
Yes.
There is no restore and forward.
Exactly.
There's no way for us to actually guarantee the message delivery.
Exactly.
There won't be any repeat.
Yeah.
So even if you pushed your message and you got everything is okay, thumbs up, it doesn't guarantee that the phone, the device actually received the toast, whatever push notification type it is.
Exactly. So most likely when you have connectivity to the phone, the notification will be delivered to the phone. So,
of course.
So connectivity-wise, it's all dependent on what the connectivity state of the phone is. And by having this feature where we actually tell you back a response whether the phone is connected or not, these servers can actually build certain logic in the backend. The other conceptual thing of how we think applications are is that they send a minimum payload with their notifications when they send inbound to the application. And for the tiles and toast, actually the payload is already predefined and fixed for those specific terms. And the concept is that applications themselves goes to the backend and synchronizes the current state of it. So the push notification could, for example, contain a sequence number. in this sequence number, it makes it much more efficient for you to synchronize your data.
Yes.
So that's what we're always saying. When you launch your application, always synchronize your information with the backend at any point in time. So for example, if you have a news feed scenario, say that you get a toast update. There's been an earthquake in
somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. These days, it's happening quite often. So you push the notifications and you launch into your favorite news viewer, which exposes push notifications. And what your application would do then is that it would go to its backend and tell them, "This is me." And you could, for example, use the notifications URI to tell, "This is me." The backend can then keep track of, okay, I just sent a notification to this application, and I sent them a notification about news ID X. And then the service sends back inbound traffic information to the application telling it, the notification that you got was about news X, yes. And then you can just show that page. Yep. It's a little bit of a delay, but at least you will get the relevant information to the user, which was bound to the information that you got through the toast.
Cool. So a few questions on the diagram.
Yeah.
So you mentioned there is a persistent channel between the device and the Microsoft hosted service, which is the Microsoft push notification. Mm-hmm. And we do it again to optimize for battery because we control the channel. We exactly know when to open the radio and use the transmitter and stuff like that.
And we can collaborate with other platform components as well, which uses connectivity with the backend, and we can see to it that we use it in the most
optimal way. You can piggyback everything, and again, just to preserve battery.
Exactly. So batteries with persistent connection scenarios, normally or traditionally on the phone platform, has been so that they are the most battery consuming.
Yes.
So what we're trying to do is that we aggregate that into one single pipe, and that single pipe is used by all applications. And then we do the optimization because we know the platform, we have the connections between the platform components and the whole holistic view of the how the platform works.
Right. So if a user, there is a wild scenario, a user had many, many applications, and they all, and he allowed all of them to use push. So there is a way that he might get, you know, a couple of messages at the same time, or present one after another.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So this is a persistent channel, which is used by everyone. Just another application coming in, and we're trying to bind into a URI. So I do the open, we'll see it in a second, the API, and then I get this URI.
Yeah.
By doing this, basically what happened is that on the back end, we actually created a channel for my back end to post app, right?
Exactly.
So the channel is not on the device, it's on the back end.
Yeah, so the device owns a little bit of the channel context, but the biggest channel context lives in the back end.
And using that URI, I can actually push
to
messages,
that
post
that
messages.
Yeah, to that specification. Right,
and they will be pushed to the phone.
Exactly.
Cool. So why REST?
Because, as I said, Web 2.0 applications out there, most of them use RESTful protocols today. It's really simple to integrate into our push service for services that are out there. Or if you're going to use the latest tools, you're going to find RESTful. You have JSON, AJAX, and all those protocols that you can use for over inbound or outbound HTTP requests.
Right. So it's very easy and common.
Yeah, it's very common in use. And we want to make it as simple as possible. So the spirit of this whole API and this whole end-to-end thinking is simple API, simple interface in the back end, as simple as possible for the developer to leverage the persistent connection to their phone.
Cool. Very, very, very interesting. And this is very powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Jorge, you mentioned that the hosted service, the Microsoft Push Notification Service, is a free service, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And this is just a URI, encrypted and secured and everything. I'm sure that there will be cases where people will ask, so how do you protect the user from malicious, you know, posting or malicious services or just bugs?
So we have different levels of protection in place. So it all starts from the high level, and then we go deeper and deeper into protocol level. So it's thinking about a depth protection. And we start all of it with, we have the service is throttled. So by throttling, I'm saying that the service which is pushing notifications to one specific endpoint is only allowed to push currently in the current implementation in the current production environment only 500 notifications per application.
Which a number might change, increase or decrease, depends on
exactly.
The policy.
But that's what we're taking right now, what makes sense for an application to send. So since this is only shoulder tap service, 500 notifications per day should be more than enough for your application to just do a shoulder tap, and then the application itself can go in the back.
So just to make sure, it's the pair you're right. So it's 500 messenger for application per device.
Yeah, or you can say 500 notifications per URI.
Yes.
Which is associated with your application, which device.
So. Which is plenty for one.
Exactly, which is plenty for one application. So that's a top-level throttling policies. Then we have end-to-end queue architecture, which means that the phone will tell at a certain point, stop, don't send me more notifications, and all the queues get built up on the service instead, and then the service will say, stop, don't send me any more notifications, and then eventually you're going to fall into the 500 notifications. And then we have different throttling policies down on the phone, how we show toasts and how we update the tiles as well. So to give the best user experience in the end as well. So it all goes down to the lowest protocol level, and it goes up to the top level protocol level. And instead of actually stopping notifications, we have restrictions which are incrementally building up, and then eventually you're going to lose your channel.
Right. And there will be cases where we're seeing misbehavior or abuse of the channel that we actually will drop the channel.
Yeah, of course. This is the whole thing about responsibility and freedom versus, it's really simple to write your applications. There are going to be scenarios where most likely users will turn off notifications for that application because it's sending me too many notifications.
Right.
They're still falling into what we haven't restricted, but they're still sending way too many notifications.
And because we keep this persistent channel open all the time, if the user shut down or take or rewrote the uses of a given application to send a push notification, the backend actually know that.
Yeah, so the backend will know that in a sense when it sends a notification to a specific URI which is no longer registered with our backend service, it will say that this is a not valid URI anymore.
Right.
So the backend service can make
the
mental note, the assumption that this client is no longer available. You can continue pushing, and good luck with that.
Of course, but it doesn't even go through the device.
We stop it at
the Microsoft push notification server.
Exactly.
Cool. So this is cool. So a third-party app or a cloud service can actually send notification and messages to the device, right?
Mm.
Are there any limitation on the size of the messages?
So I think that the answer is multifaceted because you have, as I said, you have the toast notifications and the tile notifications. They're already restricted in the way that you send them because they're only defined per properties that they have. Your title can only be a certain length. The image, you're not actually pushing the image, you're just pushing a reference to that image. Which is either associated to an image which is part of your application installation, or it's associated to an image which is in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And the counter is just a one-character thing. Anyways. And for that, toast notifications, it's two lines of text, and that's it. So they are already restricted by the property itself. So this is where we come into the in-application notifications.
There is a third type.
And what you saw was the raw notification. We've been talking about tiles and toast integration. I really want to show a simple code sample before we actually show the real-life sample application that you have. So as you see, for the platform integration, it's the same workflow that we have, as I showed you for the raw notification, except for the binding. So in step one, the application actually sets up a binding to it. So to go away a little bit from the image and say, this is a sample of how a notification to a tile would show, oof, and you will get an update. Now, sunny in Seattle, we all know how often that happens. So
yesterday, but only yesterday.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. So it's virtually the same code as the one that I showed before for the raw notification, except for two lines of code here when we are doing the binding to the tile and toast, or creating the delegate to the tile and toast, and then we're doing the binding a little bit later here. So the difference between this channel and the raw channel that I showed before is that when you do a close here, what that would mean that you would actually shut down the binding as well. So an application which is expected to have its notifications coming when it's not running, it should not do the close here.
Yes.
So the close basically means kill my channel and kill my channel's all associations with it, which in this case would be Palantir. In these samples, we see something called shell entry point and the shell notifications. In the API, which will be final, they will be renamed to tile and toast notifications.
Right. So. And basically, what you're doing, although you're actually calling an app, two methods,
yeah.
and you have some delegates.
Yeah.
So the delegates are in the current build saying that even if I'm running and I get a toast yeah. or a tile,
exactly.
I'm still going to get the information.
Yeah, exactly. They might not be in the final. We are still in the discussions whether it makes sense for developers
to receive it or not.
And if you have any opinions about it, please post them on the Windows Phone forum that we have right now.
Right.
I would love to hear feedback about that, where in-application delegates for the tiles and toasts would make sense, in what scenarios that would make sense.
But in anyhow, you need to actually bind eventually, and this
exactly.
signal the platform that I want to receive toasts and shell notifications.
Yes, that means that we never throw away the context of this specific channel when the application goes away. And also this tells us how to handle the filtering of messages. Since we are a battery-optimized pipeline first and foremost, we send certain information to the service, really small packages, really well
defined
and well compiled, which tells the service to filter certain packages so they never actually reach the phone. So for example, raw notification channel, when your application goes to the background and you have done binding, would never, even if your service would push those raw notifications, they will actually never be sent to the client.
Because the app is not running.
Because the app is not running, and we know that in the service. In the service, because the push service supports filtering of different.
Right. And this information is transparent to the backend, to
exactly.
Microsoft backend.
Yeah, and we are hiding all of this from the developer as well, so the developer don't have to think about this.
Right.
We are optimizing.
So, this is the Windows Phone client side.
Yes.
And as we are already talking for the last whatever minutes, we have a backend side, right?
Yeah.
We have a cloud service that actually. Push that
notification. Exactly. And I have a sample here as well for the tile notification. So this is a very simple sample, which shows the weather sample that you just saw. We have the XML encoded data in the format which is defined by us, which is part of the developer tools, and you can find this in MSDN, all this information, how you set up your tile, what you can do the background image, you can do the count, and you can do the title. So you set up a message ID which identifies this specific message to the backend.
Basically a GUI.
Yeah, exactly. You see the notifications class, which are restricted to the different types of messages, and this is what we actually use for filtering parameters.
So basically the notification class controls the different bucket you mentioned about
how
fast do we push this to the device.
Exactly. It gives you the bucket and it gives you the filtering. By default. And all of these are predefined, and you can see the definitions of them in the MSDN documentation for the developer tools as well. We're saying that the content type is XML, just normal HTTP, and we are saying that we are sending this information to a
token,
which is a tile. This might change to a tile.
Yes. It's not final.
We are in the CDP stage right now, so
but
names change.
But ideally, this will have the same.
Yeah,
structure.
Exactly. This is the same structure, the same workflow, and then you just send away. You post your notification to
them. Although this is really a real code, is some sort of a pseudo code, but we have real samples.
Yeah, exactly. So your sample. Yeah. So this is as pseudo code, kind of
cool.
It's just to simplify the view of it.
Okay, so let's jump into a real sample, or close to a real sample, right? So it's important to emphasize this is part of the Windows Phone training kit. Mm. So all the code will be available. The hands-on lab will walk you through how to build this entire app. So we already ran the app once, and we actually did the binding, which we'll see the code in a second. Mm. So we can now send a toast notification. Saying like lunch me or something like that, and we'll send a toast. And what we have here is a WPF application that runs locally on this machine, and it's a host WCF REST service, which will be our backend. Mm. And basically, this is a push notification client, which is a tool that we will release again with this app, with this training kit. And through that, you can actually use the Microsoft Push Notification service, which are really on the Azure cloud, basically, to push.
Yeah, I want to emphasize something here. It's actually, you're actually running against the emulator here, which is pretty cool. So we have the push notification service, all the push features running with the emulator. You don't need any phone. It's actually running against a real production server.
Right.
So it's actually connecting up to the cloud. We're using the network connectivity through the emulator, which means that you can basically build your push application end-to-end on your desktop without having a phone.
Just like we did here.
Exactly.
So we're running the mixed ETP, it's important to say. Mm. And any future release will obviously support that. Mm. Plus minus breaking changes, which will update accordingly. But yeah, so I've already ran the app once. So we bind, we get the URI, we actually send it. We bind to this application. You can see here some previous app that we have run. And by sending the toast, we would actually expect to see a toast here. Weather application, launch me, we clicked on the toast, and what happened is that the app loads. Mm. And this is the last state we've been in the app, and we can actually change it. So we can change from New York to, let's say, London, and in London, it's usually rains, and it's much colder.
Way much colder.
Yes, way much colder. And we can actually send the HTTP, which is the raw notification, and we're going to send the raw notification, the London change, the title of the city, the image that we are showing, and the weather itself. And over here we can see that actually we send the message ID, we got the OK, we got the status, we got the channel URI over here, so we provide all the information.
Yeah, so this is where it shows you what I talked about, the connection status, whether it's temporarily connected or if it's disconnected, and so forth. So,
and you have the ability within the app to actually add a button to the Windows client to do a connect and disconnect, and you can see the different reaction from the push server notification, what happened. So if we're going to jump into the code, real quick over here. So again, this we've separated between the WPF application, which is this weather application over here, to actually to have a notification sender utility, which is basically just a class that has a bunch of apps, bunch of methods. And for the public methods, or the one that we actually use right now, we use the toast, for example. So basically, you just list the URI that you want to send. You send the message, the string. And at the end of the day, it goes into a function that calls send by type, which eventually go to a send message. And the send message is exactly what you what Jorge just showed us, where we define a specific header, like the method, the content type, specific what type of notification we are sending, toast or token, and then we actually do everything asynchronously to maintain, you know, connectivity through the app.
Yeah. So I just want to point out something. In the current CDP, what we have right now is that we are encoding two of the HTTP headers in the message payload right now. This is something that we have during the transition due to something, the interaction between the services and the client. Eventually, those headers will move out as normal HTTP headers as well in the final release.
And we'll change them.
Exactly. So,
and so watch up for changes in the coming release. If you're watching this post whatever timeline, right? This is mixed ETP.
Yeah, it's always really important to keep your eyes on the release notes and keep your eyes on the updates to the documentation between all the releases, because there might be small, very subtle changes, but they might affect your whole end-to-end experience.
Right. And we'll try to keep track on this, on the posts that come with this video.
Yeah.
And obviously the Windows Phone Training Kit will always have the most up-to-date according to the release.
Exactly.
And we'll keep that posted on the Windows Phone Developer blog as well. Cool. So Jorge, any last words for departure?
Well, I would say that this is a really cool feature. Like, it really enables you to move your application out to the cloud and use the phone's old capabilities without feeling restricted about the limitation that we have by not running in the background. I don't see that as a real limitation. I see that as a more concept changing in the way how an application works and how it interacts with the cloud. To get a really rich application today, it's more than just writing it for the client. It's more about having states in the client, states in the cloud, and this framework is to make it as easy as possible for application developers to enable those scenarios.
Of course. We have a given set of capabilities, or a given set of where we can actually run.
Yes.
So this is the best we can do with this
Yes.
Which is given parameters.
Exactly.
Cool. So Jorge, thank you very much for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you in future Windows Phone 7 videos here on Channel 9.